God put some principal things in motion. And in the atmosphere, there is something we call principle. And then there is grace. And then there is mercy. Now, all of those are up there. And see, sometimes we as Christians, we get tied up and bound up and get all wind up in the principle because, see, we have not adjusted. Some of us, honestly, have not adjusted to the grace. We don't allow ourselves to receive the free grace of God because we got principles over here. And see, in the beginning, it was all by principle. Before Jesus Christ came, it was by principle. Before Jesus Christ came, the forgiving of your sins, you had to take a pigeon, you had to take a dove, you had to take a sheep, you had to take something, and you had to sacrifice whatever that animal was for the forgiveness of the, it was the blood of that animal, the sacrifice of that animal for the forgiveness of your sin, the principle, which means you had to do something in the mindset of the process, in the process of the principle, you had to do something for your sins to have to be forgiven. When the children of Israel was in the wilderness, they would take a goat, and the priest would lay his hand, would do a ceremony, and he would lay his hand on the head of the goat. And that would represent him taking all of the sins, all of the things that the people did that was not according to God, and all the things that people did that they were not supposed to do. He would take the whole village, he would take all the people, over 1 million people in the wilderness. The priest would take all of their sins on, and then he would lay his hand on this goat, and they would send it out into the wilderness. In essence, sending all the sins away from the people is what was one of the principles. Or they would have they would go to the altar and they would sacrifice animals as one of the principles of forgiving of our sins and our transgression. But Jesus looked over heaven and balcony. When God called for somebody, when God looked, one day God was standing on his balcony in heaven. And in his heart, he wanted some way of grace coming down to heaven. He wanted some way for his people not to have to go through and be controlled by principle. So he looked down from his heavenly throne. He walked out on his balcony. He looked down at earth. He looked down at his people. And he saw Abraham. And he said, Abraham couldn't do it. He saw Moses. And he said, Moses couldn't do it. He saw Isaac. And he said, well, Isaac can't do it. He saw Jake, he looked down, he saw all of the people who have done mighty things, who had served him well, and he looked down, he said, oh, they can't do it. So in my thought process, in my spirit, I believe that God got grieved in his spirit, looking around and in love for his people here on earth, love for us, get it. Get what I'm saying. His love for us, he wanted something more next level for us. So he's looking around and I believe that God was a little grieved because he kept saying, he can't do it. He can't do it. He can't do it. But a voice echoed in the background. God heard a voice that echoed in the background. And this voice was the voice of Jesus Christ, the Son. The Holy Ghost was sitting around waiting for his time, but Jesus Christ, the Son. He stepped up and he said, I do it. He said, I go. Form for me a body that I can descend down into the earth. And I'll be crucified. I can hear him telling his father, I'll be crucified. I'll be talked about. See, Jesus already knew all this because he is God. He knew the future. He knew the past, and he knew the present. So he said, I'll be crucified. I'll be spit on. I'll be talked about. I'll be beaten where I can barely be recognized. But he said, I'll do it. So God the Father created a body for God the Son. And the Spirit of God the Son descended from heaven unto the earth. And he was born like all of us. He was born of a Virgin Mary, but he was flesh and blood because his mother was flesh and blood. He was born a baby. He cried. Look, think about, see, we don't think about this. He was born a baby. He cried like all baby cried. His papa or whatever he had back then had to be changed, just like all babies, pampers or whatever, had God the Son. He grew up like he ran and he fell and he skipped his knee and Mary, his mother, had to kiss it like all baby boys. He had a hard time. He was talked about like all baby boys. I remember when I was in the seminary, one of my classes, one of my teachers was saying that there is a story that they would not share, that they did not put in the scriptures there because they didn't want to put it there, because if we saw it, we would realize how human and how God the Son was. What? There was a story that they did not get. We don't read, but there's evidence of it that when Jesus was a boy, a bunch of other little boys was teasing him, and they said Jesus at that moment kind of lost it, and it said that he turned them into pigs because he was a little boy, and he was teased like a little boy. But the story tells us that one time, when Jesus was 10 years old, and his family, as they always did, they went to Jerusalem to pay the tithe, to pay what they had to pay. And they was ready. You probably heard this story if you read the Bible a little bit. You heard this story. It was time for them to go back home. So all of the people gathered themselves. Jesus the boy. Look, Jesus the boy. All of the family gathered themselves to get ready to march, to go back home. And Mary and Joseph looked around and said, where is that hard-headed boy at? Because he was nowhere to be seen. They packed up and ready to go. But Jesus the boy was nowhere around to be seen. Where is he at? You know you had that before. You ready to get in the car. You ready to go somewhere. And your son and your daughter, they out there doing, they ain't still in the bedroom. You trying to get out of the house. You trying to go. You trying to do what you need to do. But they ain't still messing around doing this and doing that. Well, they thought that Jesus the boy was messing around playing, doing this and doing that. And they was ready to go. And they're like, somebody find that boy. Hallelujah. But when they found Jesus the boy, he was in the temple with the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the priests. And he was talking with them with so much knowledge and so much wisdom and so much understanding. He had them all just sitting there listening to what he had to say. Who is this little boy? Where did he come from? How did he know so much? And when they finally found him, when their parents finally found him, they said, come on here, boy, what you doing? Let's get on. Do what you're supposed to do. And the word tells us that from that time on, Jesus was obedient, not acting like God the Son, not acting like he was more powerful than they were, his parents and everybody else, not acting like he was over them, not acting like he was better than them. He says that he was obedient to them. As a carpenter's son, he learned how to build. He helped the family make a living. He helped the family to live by being a carpenter. He built beds. He built dressers. He built things with his hand. That's what he did. Because that's what his daddy, the human father, did with the carpenter. So he did that. He learned that trade, and he did that. But the story tells me that when Jesus became 30, the word said that he knew it was time to go about his father's business. He knew it was time for him to go and do what he promised that he would do for God the Father. So the Bible tells us that some people said 3 years, but scholars say it was 3.5 years. What I read, I go with the 3.5 years. So the Bible says that 3.5 years, Jesus worked his ministry. Nothing of his own. Nothing about, he said that if you see me, you see the Father. If you hear me, you hear the Father. If I do something, I do it not of myself, but I do it of the Father. So he was crucified for our grace. So sometimes you need to separate. You need to realize that we got grace and we have principle. Don't let the principle of what you have done. Don't let the principle of who you are. Don't let the principle of where you are. Don't let the principle of where you've been not allow you to accept God's grace. My topic, after all of that, is allowing yourself to enjoy the grace that God have already given you. When Jesus died, he already gave you grace. So the grace, the forgiving yourself is free. The accepting the blessings of God is free. The accepting the joy of God is free. You can't do nothing. You don't have to do nothing. There is nothing you can do to receive God's grace. Nothing. No matter how good you are, no matter how wonderful you are, no matter how strong you are, no matter how big you are, no matter how small you are, no matter where you at, no matter who you are, you cannot do anything to receive God's grace, because it is freely given. Somebody ought to clap your hand on the idea that God's grace is free to everybody. It's free to everybody. Yes, hallelujah. Hebrews, the 12th chapter and the 15th verse, and it says it this way. This is what you got to understand. This is what you got to receive down inside your spirit. This is what you got to know. This is what you got to walk by. This is what you got to live by when it comes to understanding the difference between the grace of God and the principle of God. And understanding that grace belongs to you freely, but you must work the principle. And principle no longer exists when it comes to God's grace. Principle no longer exists when it comes to your joy that God has given you. Principle no longer exists when it comes to the forgiveness that God has given you. Principle no longer exists when it comes to the washing away all that God has washed away in your life. You have got to learn how to walk in the free grace of God. He's given it to you. So Hebrews says, and get this, somebody get this, get this, get this, get this, get this, get this. You ought to be happy and joy about this one, because this is important. Get this, is important to get. Be careful that no one fail to to get God's grace. Look, see, you cannot get it. He wouldn't have said that if there was, you can, it's given to you, but it's up to you to accept it. You get that? It wouldn't be put here if he didn't know that somebody won't forgive yourself. It wouldn't be put here if God didn't know that somebody wouldn't let a situation go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It wouldn't be put here if God didn't know that somebody wouldn't walk in it. So he says to his people, he is saying to us, be careful. Don't let something hold you back. Be careful. Don't let something hold you down. Be careful. Don't let something get you in a situation. Be careful. He said, be careful that no one, not just no one. He's concerned about everybody. He says, no one fails to get God's grace. Be careful that no one lose their faith and become like a bitter weed growing among you. Ha. Don't get all messed up in a situation. Don't get all tied up in a situation where you become like a bitter. You become like a weed. That's, you know, nobody like weeds. We see weeds. No, when I see weeds, I go get the Roundup. Round your house, people don't like weed. They go get the Roundup and they spray the Roundup and see, Roundup is made to kill the weeds and not kill the grass. The good stuff. See, I want you to understand today, you ain't a weed, you're the good stuff. Who in here know that you're the good stuff? I have any good stuff in here today. Say to yourself, I'm not a weed. Hallelujah. God says you're not a weed. Hallelujah. He says that they become like a bitter weed growing among you. Do you see? Unfortunately, we got some bitter weeds among all of us, just like in the grass. See, even those people, you ever drove around and you see people got these beautiful lawns? I mean, those things are maintained, and they pay people to take care of it, and they put down fertilizer, they put down seed, they put down growth, and those things, when you driving around and drive by the house, though they look so beautiful and so plush, and like, you could just go in there and walk around barefooted, you could just go there and lay on it and play all in, but all you got to do, get out your car, because everybody got weeds. I'm going to tell you right now, it don't matter how beautiful that yard look from your side or from in your car or from driving around or walking back. If you take a close up, everybody's got weeds somewhere. But you got to not be concerned about the weed, because you got to realize that God made you the plush green grass. Look, your plush green grass. It says, and see, this is the situation. This is the situation. It says somebody, look, it says somebody like that can ruin the whole group. Ha. Your grass might look plush, it might look wonderful, it might look great, but you get one dead area in there and it makes the whole yard look bad. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God is saying today, don't. The grace is yours. The grace is free. The grace, Jesus Christ died on the cross for our grace and mercy. And grace that we don't receive. See, forgiveness that we don't receive. We don't receive what we deserve. But mercy gives us that we didn't work for or can't work for. Understand, people, understand. God has poured Jesus' blood, Jesus giving up his life, Jesus died on the cross, made grace free, separated from the principle that used to be. You no longer have to kill a pigeon. You no longer. Can you imagine that? Had to go out in the back behind the church and grab a goat and bring it up in the altar. And can you imagine having to taking the blood and kind of sprinkling it on the altar? I can imagine back in that day, that church, those temple really smelled where the altar was. But how many today could imagine having to do that? None of us today. Thank God we don't have to. Thank God all we have to do believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died on the cross for us. And he freely forgave us, because when he gave us the ghost, God signed the contract. He said, Father, forgive them, because they know not what they do. See, Jesus signed the contract in blood. We just signed in ink when we do a contract. But the contract that Jesus signed for us was done in blood. Hallelujah. Come on, rest on your feet. Grace is yours. Somebody said, echo it today. Grace is mine. Grace is yours today. Grace. The grace of God belongs to all of us. God bless you all. I pray that you enjoy the rest of your day. And I say this. Don't let summer go by without having some summer fun.